Welcome to the Sample Chapter Podcast, the show where authors read a sample chapter from one of their books. Here's your host, Jason A. Meiske.
Hello, Sample Chapter listeners, and welcome to episode 255 of the show. Hey, this week we are back once again with Mark Stevens, as he'll be reading a sample chapter from his latest novel, The Fireballer. The book came out January 1st of this year, and you're going to hear a sample chapter of that today from the author himself. Yes, Mark does a fantastic reading, and it really sets the stage for you of what to expect in the book, which sounds amazing to me, and I'm very grateful that people sent over a copy, and I'm going to be diving into that here as soon as I can. But you get to listen to a sample chapter of that today and then click in the show notes to pick up a copy of that for yourself. And hey, don't forget, if you want to know more about today's guest author, Mark Stevens, go back to episode 254 and check out that interview with him. I'm going to have a link for that in the show notes as well. Something really cool about this episode, though, aside from the reading, is that Mark also gives us a little interesting insight into this opening chapter, something about the book that he says would not happen today. So I thought that was really cool, and it's something you're going to hear about coming up here in just a moment. Meanwhile, don't forget to go down and check out our podcast friends and affiliates. Hey, thank you very much for all you out there who were ordering from the TeePublic sale going on last week. That was exciting to see some people snatching up a few sample chapter t-shirts, and hey, make sure you take some pictures and share that on social media. Don't forget to tag me on whatever social media you're on, Facebook, X, Twitter, or Instagram. Tag the show and show us your sample chapter swag. And don't forget to put your email in at TeePublic so that way they can let you know, just like I will try to, of any sales going on, because they do frequent, like once or twice a month, they do frequent sales, $16 t-shirts and up to 35% off other products. So really cool stuff going on over there. Had somebody the other day asking, you know, what else they can do to support the show. You know, another great way to support the show is if you want to go and check out my books. They're at the Sample Chapter website, or you can click on the show notes and you'll see my link for Jason A. Meiske. Whenever you buy a book from me, that is also something that's going to help out with paying the bills for the show. So whether it's advertisements or, you know, sales at TeePublic or sales of my own book, you know, anything along those lines, or purchases from Writer's Block Coffee, all of that goes into the same place, which helps me pay the bills on this. Because, you know, I've come to understand that over the years that this show is an extension of me as an author. I talk to you directly. I don't have an email newsletter. But I do have this weekly show where I can talk to people and let you know about my new books and other stuff. So that's another great way you can help the show keep the lights on and pay the bills, so to speak, by checking out some of my books. I have several books. Right now, all of them are Amazon, exclusive to Amazon. But if you like thrillers, then I think I've got something for anyone in there, whether you like paranormal or psychological or kind of 80s retro sci-fi. I have a little bit of something in there for everyone. So you can just click that link in the show notes to hop on over and pick up a book for yourself or grab a book for a friend. If you want one signed, you need to go to jasonamaiske.com, and I do have an option in there where you can order a signed copy, and I will sign that and send it off to myself. Meanwhile, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and hop on over to the sample chapter reading of Mark Stevens' latest book, The Fireballer. Hello, sample chapter listeners. Hey, welcome back to part two of our feature with Mark Stevens. This week, we're going to be hearing a sample chapter from his latest book, The Fireballer. This is a poignant story about hopes, dreams, and how far one man's talent takes him before he realizes it's about what you do and how you do it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me once again bring to the floor here Mark Stevens. Mark, is there anything we need to know ahead of time about this sample reading?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm going to start out with the first chapter, but this scene would not happen today. And the reason for that is the National League went to the designated hitter just as this book was coming out. So this idea that an American League pitcher, which my main character pitches for the Baltimore Orioles, the fact that he would be in Wrigley Field going up to the plate to take a turn at bat, that would not happen today. But for decades, the National League didn't have the designated hitter, and this scene was plausible. No, I can just say the readers, they all get it, and they understand that this is just prior to the new rules that have been adopted by the major leagues and in particular the National League. So just flashback to 2000 and before this rule was adopted, actually in 2022. So just prior to that. So
Fantastic.
this is opening scene, chapter one. Frank Reiter claws the dirt with his cleats and stares out at the man on the mound. He takes a breath, swings his medium-barreled maple bat three times through the zone. Reiter waits, his heart thumps. If the fans went still for a moment, they might be able to hear it clear out above the ivy draping the outfield walls. This is Reiter's first official trip to the plate as a batter in the major leagues, and he knows what's coming. He is the target, the focus, the one. Outside Wrigley Field, though the game is well underway, ticketless fans scurry about. They're fueled by a deep fear of missing out. Regular folks from Portage Park, West Loop millennials, swank Streeterville sea level types, hipsters from Bucktown, out of luck regulars from Wrigleyville, too, even fans from Southside White Sox country, some Hyde Park academics, retirees up from quiet old Beverly, the profoundly curious from Mayor Daley's old Irish neighborhood, Shotnabeer, Bridgeport. Suburbanites have battled expressway traffic all the way into the city from Naperville and Barrington, from Oaklawn and from A2. People from places like Normal, a father and son from Grand Detour, a farm family from tiny Lost Nation. Cardinal fans, too, have made their way up from downstate. The truth is, any baseball fan with any means has made their way to Chicago to call in favors. The hopeful approach late arrivals who might be willing to part with their tickets. Perhaps there's a clueless couple who chose a random game for a casual baseball date, and perhaps they need some easy cash, $800 per seat. Or perhaps they aren't true baseball fans. They don't get it. The game of baseball is now teetering in the balance for one simple reason. Because Frank Reiter is a certified freak. Because perhaps they don't understand the game. They don't get baseball. They never will. The key is to spot these individuals first and extract the tickets from their hands before a bidding war begins with a panicky competitor. But this scenario isn't likely. The eager ones who believe they are missing out on history have been checking their phones for the score. The game is ticking along. The game is going, in fact, much too fast. It is now the fourth inning. Hope for finding a way inside grows faint, prepares to vanish. The friendly confines buzzes. All the other stops where Frank Reiter has pitched have been the same: packed stadiums, media frenzies, spectacles to the core. The nearby watering holes are mobbed. The Cubby Bear is jammed. So are Murphy's Bleachers, Slugger's World, and Bernie's Tap and Grill. Unlucky cops watch the streets. More fortunate uniforms work inside, or at least they can claim they saw Frank Reiter. The giddy atmosphere is tailor-made for pickpockets, drunks, and dealers. In the crammed press box, a veteran baseball reporter for the New York Times flew to Chicago to cover the game, but he's keen to find someone who can spill the beans on the phenom's dark side. Was there some crazy experimental surgery? Twitter is trying to get the rumor rolling about the kid spending a few months in Mexico and how the time can't be explained. Is the kid on drugs? Who are his enemies? Friends? Girlfriends? Reporters have been to the suburbs of Atlanta and the city of Denver, too. They have tipped over all the obvious rocks and poked around underneath. They have skimmed the surface of the kid's upbringing and his middle-class youth. Everybody knows about the one tragic, fluky incident way back when. There must be more. There is always more. Watching the kid stand in the batter's box, however, the reporter gives him credit. He looks confident, and that ain't right. Up in the luxury boxes, the retractable glass windows are open wide. Corporate schmoozers stand and watch, sipping beers and booze from plastic cups. One investment banker has bet an ambulance-chasing attorney $100 Frank Ryder strikes out in 3 pitches and never gets the bat off his shoulder. Out in dead center field in the next to last row of bleachers, a plumber from Fuller Park sits with his 13-year-old son, who has the old man's kinky red hair and a face as round and open as a dinner plate. The father works on a Vienna beef with mustard and onions. The kid grips a fat, messy Chicago sandwich with 2 hands. Dad and the stranger next to him agree on one thing. The kid's arm is due to shatter any day. And they agree on another thing, too, that they never thought the pitch speed record of 106 miles per hour, if you really believe Aroldis Chapman once threw a pitch that fast when he was with Cincinnati, would ever be broken. No way the kid can last, says the stranger. It isn't possible. Dad thinks that would be something, to watch the kid get carted off the field tonight, a quirky bit of crazy baseball history over and done with in a flash. Now it's the kid's turn to face the music. Dad's tone to his son is equal parts instructive and feisty. Dad figures this is a teachable moment about baseball and its ways. You know the kid is shaking in his boots. The sport of baseball itself will have a thing or two to say, and it's going to say it right now. And if that kid ain't scared, then we know for sure. He's a 100% bona fide fucking mutant. Frank Ryder will not give in. Once the message is delivered with the first pitch, there will be pitches he can hit. Ryder plans to smack a line drive back up the middle, maybe whistle one past Simon's ear. Give him pause. The him is Tim Simons. For years, Simons was an Atlanta Brave in Frank's bedroom in Alpharetta before all of what happened and before his family moved from Georgia to Colorado. With a ball in his hand, Frank would study YouTube clips of the best pitchers. He would mimic their windup and delivery, racking up the imaginary strikeouts in his head. His favorite, the one he studied the most, the ultra-smooth motion of Tim Simons. Part of it was Simons' high leg kick. Part of it was the inscrutable face and the Popeye mandible of the man who threw tracer fire. For 4 sparkling years, the lanky hurler with the flowing hair and scruffy beard was a tough pitcher with filthy stuff. For 4 years, he was one of the best pitchers in the league. The following year, he hit the wall in July. He went on the injured list for 6 weeks. His season collapsed. 2 years ago, the Cubs took a chance via trade. Maybe it was the change of scenery. Something revived him. He returned to dominant form. Ryder remembers shouting at home with the crowd at the park. Simon says, they yelled every time another unlucky batter stared at a called third strike or flailed with his bat at the breeze. Most of the time, Simon says, sit down, take a seat on the bench with your lame-ass teammates. And there he is. Ryder stands erect but relaxed on his shoulder. The commotion Frank Ryder has caused as a pitcher, that was something he could anticipate. Coaches warned him, but deep down, Ryder knew this would be baseball's chance to smack back. The crowd understands. Their roar is full throttle. An extra layer of dampness oozes onto Ryder's hands. An unfamiliar thudding clatters his ribs. His knees aren't rock solid, but at least they don't shake, he hopes. Through the course of the first 6 weeks of Ryder's first full season in the big leagues, after he is brought up to join the expanded roster the previous September, the schedule and a crafty manager have kept him from stepping into the batter's box. All the commotion Ryder has caused has been from the mound. As an American League pitcher, he is never required to swing a bat unless his Baltimore Orioles are playing in a National League park, such as Wrigley Field. In the National League, there are no designated hitters. All pitchers hit. Ryder dislikes the whole DH concept. He would prefer to have been drafted by a National League team so he'd have regular chances to prove his athleticism at the plate. But here he is. Ryder's teammates have fashioned one run, a bunt single, a stolen base, and a well-stroked double to right center. So the game is already over except for the final tally. The Cubs won't score. They might not get a man to first base. Nice day, They are only standing a few feet apart, but catcher Tim Barrett shouts the two words. The roar from the crowd could cut steel. "Hear anything?" says Ryder. "Nah." The Simons Barrett combo is the Tim Towers. Barrett is 6'2", Simons is 6'4". "You?" Barrett squats, flaps his fat glove. "Something, yeah, but it's hard to pick up." "Welcome to the way the game is supposed to be played." "Thanks," says Ryder. "I mean, thanks, I think." Ryder waves his bat through the zone one more time. He waits. Simons milks the moment, lets the pressure mount. The crowd's clamor subsides. Perhaps they all have a twisted need to hear the brittle crack when a Simons fastball finds Ryder's ribs. Simon stares in for the sign. Ryder crouches, cocks his bat, wiggles it. The left leg and kick is the left leg, that leg kick, the one he studied for years. Where in the hell is the ball in the whirling mass of humanity? The left leg lands. Simons is focused on Ryder's head. The ball is halfway to its target when Ryder reels backward, lets the bat go flying, smacks the dirt hard with his chest like an ugly belly flop in an empty pool, and waits for the crowd to erupt.
All right, there you go, everyone. That was Mark Stevens reading a sample chapter from his latest novel, The Fireballer. That book is available right now. Make sure you click the link in the show notes for everything about Mark and his books, including The Fireballer, and his social media links are in there. Don't forget to check out our podcast friends and affiliates, and make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss next time when I'm back with a new author, a new book, and a brand new sample chapter. Take care, everyone.